Welcome to episode 880 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The famine of hearing the words of the Lord, prophesied in Amos 8 verses 11 to 12, is a powerful image of spiritual desolation. It speaks to a time when God seemingly goes silent, his prophetic voice absent from the land. Here's an examination of this prophecy, how it might have been experienced in the centuries between the Old and New Testaments, and its implications. Let's begin with the context. The famine Amos describes is not literal hunger for food or water, but an absence of God's guidance and revelation through his prophets. This spiritual drought is a consequence of Israel's persistent rejection of God's warnings and their unwillingness to repent. "Behold, the days are coming," declares the Lord God, "when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." A powerful metaphor. The image of frantic searching for God's word with no success evokes a desperate, unfulfilled longing for spiritual sustenance. This reflects that our need for God is deeply rooted in our very nature. It's important to note that this prophecy doesn't necessarily mean God never spoke during this period. However, major prophetic voices like those heard throughout the Old Testament become noticeably rarer. The roughly 400 years between Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and the birth of Jesus are often referred to as the intertestamental period, or even the silent years. Let's explore how this relates to Amos's prophecy, the historical reality. Despite a lack of major prophetic writings, this period was by no means spiritually stagnant. Developments included the following. The synagogue system became widespread, fostering local study of the existing scriptures. It was this time that witnessed the translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. This made the Bible accessible to the Greek-speaking world. Many works of apocryphal literature are traced to this period. While not considered canon, these writings offer insights into the spiritual climate of the time. Overall, during these years, there was a growing expectation. Alongside the spread of Scripture came a growing sense of anticipation for the promised Messiah. This hunger intensified towards the New Testament era, as evidenced by individuals like Simeon and Anna, both of whom we read about in Luke chapter 2. Yes, there was a period of famine, but then Jesus showed up, like a feast after a long fast, filling the emptiness with nourishment and abundance. We cannot overstate the fullness of revelation in Christ. He was the Word made flesh. Jesus embodied the very words of God. He didn't just speak about God, but was God in human form. His teachings and actions revealed the Father's heart in a way surpassing any previous prophet. The New Covenant followed the intertestamental period. While the Old Testament focused on external laws, Jesus emphasized an inward transformation, fulfilling the promises God made throughout the prophetic books regarding a new covenant. When can we consider the ending of this famine? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost marks the definitive end of the spiritual famine Amos foretold. God's word became accessible to all, empowering believers to carry the prophetic message to the ends of the earth. Still, periods marked by a lack of spiritual insight, understanding, or growth have recurred throughout history. How did Jewish thinkers view this passage? How do they view it today? Many rabbis see this as a historical fulfillment during the Babylonian captivity. Exile from the land also meant exile from the temple, the central location for prophecy and religious instruction. Additionally, the destruction of the first temple marked a shift in how God communicated with the Jewish people. With the absence of a central prophet, a heavier emphasis was placed on studying the existing scriptures and the development of rabbinic tradition. Other interpretations emphasize the ongoing relevance of this prophecy. Even with the written Torah and rabbinic teachings, a person can still experience a famine if they're not actively seeking God's voice in their lives. This could be due to a lack of personal study, failing to connect with the teachings, or simply going through a dry season in one's spiritual journey. This interpretation aligns with our Christian take on Amos's words. Some rabbinic thought sees this verse as pointing towards the Messianic era. The famine might represent a period before the Messiah's arrival, when spiritual confusion and darkness prevail. The coming of the Messiah would then usher in a time of renewed prophecy and a deeper understanding of God's word. Sadly, most of the leaders among the scribes and Pharisees failed to recognize the Messiah when he arrived. Jesus, the bread of life, offers a feast that forever ends the spiritual hunger described in Amos's prophecy. He satisfies our deepest thirst for God, providing direct access to truth and presence, nourishing and sustaining our souls. Amos spoke of a time when people would search desperately for God's word and not find it. Yet, centuries later, God's word came to us in a new and powerful way, in the person of Jesus. John 1 verse 14, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus didn't simply point to God's truth, he embodied it. His actions and teachings perfectly reflected the Father's heart. By studying Jesus' life and words, we receive the most complete revelation of God ever given. Jesus invites us to come to him and receive living water, symbolizing the Holy Spirit. The Spirit indwells believers, providing continuous access to God's wisdom and guidance. Jesus provides a direct connection to God. This cannot be overemphasized. He is the great mediator. Prior to Jesus, priests served as intermediaries with God. However, Jesus' sacrifice tore the veil of the temple, opening direct access to the Father for all believers. We are no more spiritual orphans. Through Jesus, we are adopted into God's family. Paul writes about this in Romans 8 verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." We are no longer separated from our Father, but have the privilege of intimate communion with him. Each of us has the capacity to access a personal guide. There is no longer a need for us to rely on prophets, as was necessary in the past. The Holy Spirit dwelling within us acts as a constant counselor. We have a real-time source of guidance, discernment, and comfort. Jesus didn't just come to eliminate a theoretical famine. He desires a vibrant relationship with each of us. Here's how to cultivate this life-giving connection. Feast on the Word. The Bible isn't just a historical text. It's Jesus speaking to us. Actively study, meditate on, and apply the scriptures. Prioritize prayer. Prayer is a conversation with God. Develop a habit of both speaking and listening, bringing your joys, struggles, and gratitude before him. Cultivate spiritual hunger. Don't become complacent. Recognize our constant need for God, actively seeking him in our daily lives. Walk in obedience. When the Holy Spirit prompts us, obedience opens doors to deeper communion with God and allows us to experience the fullness of his blessings. There can be times of spiritual famine when God's truth is obscured or neglected by society or even within the church itself. During such times, individuals and communities may experience a sense of spiritual dryness and distance from God due to a lack of adherence to biblical teachings or the dilution of doctrinal purity. By maintaining a strong connection to Scripture and a personal relationship with God, one can prevent or overcome these periods of spiritual famine. Amos's prophecy of spiritual famine might have been a stark reality in his time, but Jesus transforms this bleak picture. In him, we find an overflowing well of living water, the bread of life that truly satisfies our soul's deepest needs, and a direct connection to the heart of God. May we never take this abundance for granted. By nurturing our relationship with Jesus, the living word, we can thrive spiritually, rely on his guidance, and experience the joy of walking hand in hand with our loving Father. Father, help us to remain connected to you. May we continually feast on the bread of life. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest. Today.